Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 10, Chapters 1 through 3. Chapter 1. Thanks be to God, the Almighty and King of the universe, for all things. And abundant thanks be also to the Savior and Redeemer of our souls, Jesus Christ, through whom we pray continually that peace from troubles without and troubles in the heart may be preserved for us steadfast and undisturbed. And, having now added, while we pray, the 10th tome also of the ecclesiastical history to those which preceded it, we shall dedicate this tome to thee, my most holy Paulinus, invoking thee as the seal of the whole work. And, fitly, in a perfect number, we shall here place the perfect and panegyrical discourse on the restoration of the churches, in obedience to the divine Spirit who thus exhorts us. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath wrought salvation for him. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he revealed in the sight of the heathen. And verily, in accordance with the oracle which thus bids us, let us now cry aloud the new song, since, after those terrible and gloomy spectacles and narratives, we were accounted worthy now to behold and to celebrate in a panegyric such things as of a truth many righteous men and martyrs of God before us desired to see upon earth, and saw them not, and to hear, and heard them not. But they, indeed, hasting with all speed, obtained far better things in the heavens themselves, and were caught up into a paradise of divine pleasure, while we, acknowledging that even these present things are beyond our deserts, have been utterly astounded at the munificence of the bounty of which he is the author, and with our whole soul's might, fittingly render him our awe and worship, attesting the truth of the written predictions, wherein it is said, Come and behold the works of the Lord, what wonders he hath made in the earth, making wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He will break the bow and shatter the armor, and the shields he will burn with fire. Rejoicing that these things have been clearly fulfilled to usward, let us proceed to take up our narrative. The whole race of God's enemies had been verily removed, even as we have stated, and in a moment blotted out of men's sight, so that once more a divine saying hath fulfillment, that which says, I have seen the wicked in great power, and lifted up like the cedars of Lebanon, and I passed by, and lo, he was not. And I sought his place, and it was not found. And now, henceforth, a day bright and radiant, with rays of heavenly light, overshadowed by never a cloud, shone down upon the churches of Christ throughout the whole world. Nor were even those outside our society grudged, if not the equal enjoyment of our divinely sent blessings, at any rate a share in their effluence and a participation thereof. Chapter 2. So the whole human race was freed from the oppression of the tyrants, and, delivered from his former ills, each one after his own fashion acknowledged as the only true God him who was the champion of the pious. But we, especially, who had fixed our hopes upon the Christ of God, had gladness unspeakable, and a divine joy blossomed in the hearts of us all, as we beheld every place which a short time before had been laid in ruins by the tyrant's evil deeds, now reviving as if after a long and deadly destruction, and temples rising once more from their foundations to a boundless height, and receiving in far greater measure the magnificence of those that formerly had been destroyed. Yea, and emperors, the most exalted by successive enactments on behalf of the Christians, confirm still further and more widely God's bounty towards us. And bishops constantly received even personal letters from the emperor, and honors and gifts of money. It may not be unfitting at the proper place in this work, as on a sacred monument, to insert in this book the text of these documents, translated from Latin into Greek, so that they may also be preserved in remembrance by all those who come after us. Chapter 3. After this, there was brought about that spectacle for which we all prayed and longed, festivals of dedication in the cities, and consecrations of the newly built houses of prayer, assemblages of bishops coming together, of those from far off foreign lands, kindly acts on the part of laity towards laity, union between the members of Christ's body as they met together in complete harmony, certainly in accordance with a prophetic prediction that mystically signified beforehand what was for to come. There came together bone to bone and joint to joint, and all that the oracular utterance in dark speech truly foretold. One was the power of the divine spirit that spread through all the members. All were of one soul and displayed the same zeal for the faith. One hymn of praise to God came from the lips of all. Yea, verily, our leaders conducted perfect ceremonies, and the consecrated priests performed the sacred rites and stately ordinances of the church, here with psalmody and recitation of such other words as having been given us from God, there with the ministering of divine and mystic services, and the ineffable symbols of the Savior's passion were present, and altogether of every age, male and female, with the whole power of their mind, gave honor to God the author of their good fortune, in prayer and thanksgiving, with joyful heart and soul. Moreover, every one of the church's rulers that were present, according to his ability, delivered panegyrical orations, inspiring the assembly. Here ends Book 10 and Chapters 1 through 3, and we'll move on to some notes and commentary. Chapter 1 of Book 10 begins with an expression of thanksgiving to God for bringing an end to the persecution against the church and the restoration of peace. Eusebius dedicates the entire ecclesiastical history to Paulinus, Bishop of Tyre. Olton notes that Eusebius also dedicated his work, the Onomasticon, to Paulinus, whom he greatly admired. Eusebius expresses his intention to lift up a panegyric, a discourse of praise to God in this closing book, in light of the removal of the enemies of the Church of Christ. Chapter 2 notes that whereas all men had reason to rejoice at the fall of the tyrants, the Christians had even more cause for rejoicing. They were revived after a time of destruction and were able to build temples to boundless heights. The emperors issued enactments on behalf of the Christians, and the bishops received personal letters and gifts, including money, from the emperor. Chapter 3 begins by noting in particular the dedications of new houses of prayer and the free assemblages of bishops coming together from many lands that were now able freely to take place. The Christians enjoyed great unity as they came together in worship, and the leaders each offered their own panegyrical orations. In conclusion, the tone of these opening chapters of Book 10 is indeed celebratory, as Eusebius notes the fall of the tyrants Maxentius and Maximin at the hands of Constantine and Licinius. These chapters anticipate Eusebius's own extended panegyric dedicated to Paulinus, which will follow in the next chapter. This brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope this has been helpful to those who are listening, and we'll look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.